Ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Fortinet Session with your host, Chris Dorn, and our co-host, Israel Quintero. We are on season two, episode 11, so tracking pretty well on getting these cranked out to you guys. And we want to touch base and talk about the new security processing unit that Fortinet's released. Always kind of neat to talk about the underlying technology and the workhorses that make these things happen. So with this new chip that's come out, wanted to kind of review it, see where it, what kind of performance gains we're looking to obtain from it, see how it kind of fits inside of the architecture too, in the different series of hardware that we're going to see these SP5 units being placed in. So welcome, Israel. Thanks for helping me get these going.
So, yeah, definitely.
How you doing today?
Oh, it's a beautiful day. Every day is a beautiful day if you wake up.
Yeah, true.
Can't complain.
And even more beautiful when we got some cool stuff to look at and talk about here. So this was actually your idea. So yeah, thanks for providing this as a talking point for us to review together.
Yeah, I mean, our area is so unique, right? Anybody who's in the technology world starts to know really this industry is just growing so fast that we need to keep up. And even for us to learn what is out there to be able to help us, how to do this, how to get something faster. Everybody wants fast speeds, faster processors and stuff like that. And Fortinet had done that right now. They just released this about 2.5 or 3 weeks ago, the SP5 unit.
What is this SPU, you know, for folks that aren't really super familiar with it?
So actually Fortinet has three different chips, right? They have the NP7. NP7 is a network processor that actually is a chip just dedicated for the network, right? Then there's a contact processor that is the CPN. Now, those two chips are actually for bigger hardware, right?
And that's in addition to the normal CPU, which with some other vendors, they're co-processing on just the CPU, but Fortinet has these broken out. So you're getting performance increases in.
Exactly, right. Nowadays, trying to make a CPU that is able to support and process that information is a little difficult. And with the content processor and having a network processor, those will work hand in hand. And it will be able to take that load and be able to distribute it properly and faster. Now, being said that, those are the bigger hardware for Fortinet. They separated. Okay. Now, when it comes to the CPU is for a entry level to mid level hardware, right? Now, it used to be just SPU. The new one just got released about 2-3 weeks ago, and now they call it SP5. What that means is one single unit that is fully capable of pretty much just overdoing any CPUs out there. So Fortinet, as most if you guys don't know, Fortinet actually designs and creates their own CPU. And that's what they call it, is a security processing unit. So it's really unique, very interesting how Fortinet actually does this stuff. It doesn't rely on AMD or Intel to get those units. They do their own. And that's why. Mm-hmm.
These are ASIC chips.
Yes.
I read. So they're going to, like, I saw some equivalent comparisons that it would be like a Intel Atom processor or Celeron processor gray category, but like on steroids.
On steroids, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just, it's our ridiculous fast. And with this new model, I mean, with the firewall throughput, that's increased about 17 times. The IPsec throughput about 32 times. I mean, those are big numbers. And for threat protection to be able to, they increased it by three and a half times. I mean, it's just incredible how this is being developed. As I mentioned earlier, I mean, technology is growing so fast, and everybody in the market wants to be that part. Like, I want to be there. I want to make this faster. I want to be that first vendor to do this. And Fortinet is doing that. That's the beauty of having a Fortinet product, because it's US made. They don't rely on third party. It's all their own stuff.
Nice. So that can help reduce the lead time on some of these entry and mid-level appliances that'll house these.
Yeah, definitely. That's one of the biggest thing that Fortinet is just skyrocketing, right? Because they're able to cut the lead times from other vendors. And of course, I'm not going to say no other names, but that's the main reason that Fortinet out of nowhere has got more popular, because Fortinet was there already.
And this is the fifth generation. So we have these ASIC chips in the with the generation four and previous generations. Mm-hmm. They were already present in there. And that's one of the talking points I have a lot with customers, is that, you know, you're looking at this brand, they're doing everything on the single processor. We're distributed inside of the FortiGate boxes because we've had those. So you got the SP5 now introduced, and that'll be in our entry and probably a lot of the commercial space and SMB space where folks would start seeing that. But you still have the CP9 and the MP7 that you were speaking to. That'll be in some of the larger boxes. We might see in carrier grade or large enterprise. So yep. everybody's getting their own offload capabilities here, regardless of the industry or the size of your organization. You're going to take advantage of Fortinet's technology and distributing these loads between multiple chips inside of their units.
Yeah, and one of the biggest things that a lot of people don't understand, it's just a firewall. It's just a firewall. Well, more people starting to see the new technology out there, and it's not just a firewall now. That's why they changed to the new gen. That's why it's called the next generation firewall, because not just a firewall, it's a router too. What they switch, right? And most cases. That's where the heavy load needs to be, a bigger CPU. And like you mentioned earlier, you just put in the CPU and steroids to be able to maintain all that information and do that capability. And this is, if anybody or not anybody is not familiar with the firewall is typically is a layer 2 and 3. Now, that's the protection level around there. But if you start looking at these new gen firewalls, it's layer 7.
That's a good point.
Flexibility.
Hey, that's a great point. I'm referencing this article on the SP5 from techpowerup.com. And I'm just kind of looking through it here. And they're pointing out with these, you got the ability now with this SP5, it's going to concurrently run twice the number of applications, be it whether it's next gen firewall, internal based, zero trust for your ZTNA, if it's a SD-WAN component or SSL inspection. Those are like the meat and potatoes of your next gen firewalls. And now you're seeing this and a substantially large increase in performance. It's almost like you're doubling your firewall's capabilities right out of the bat, if not even more. So yeah, there's a lot of value in this.
They're trying to get Fortinet is very unique, right? Because they're trying to create a enterprise firewall and bring it out to the SMB. So they have that full capability to be able to give them that full support. a lot of vendors out there don't want to look at the SMB side. And Fortinet is.
Yeah, we've run into some of those. That's been a realization that took a little bit to figure out. And it's like Fortinet just kind of fits the bill from 5-user shops to 50,000 user plus shops. So there's something here for everybody. But at the end of the day, it all ties back to the same operating system.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the biggest things that we want to make sure that our listeners are listening to what's out there for them. Why don't get scared to go with the big companies like Fortinet. Fortinet has something for the SMB market. That's what they came about, the firewall. They're all security companies. They want to make sure you're protected. So any listener right now is like, why am I paying for commercial use on a business level? That's, you're exposing yourself for a hack. Most customers don't understand. It's not if you're going to get hacked, it's when you're going to get hacked. And CISOs and CEOs needs to start thinking about that and investing on your security, because that's your breadwinner right there. You have more protection. That's where the key is.
Oh, yeah. It's across the board. So, I mean, we've had customer conversations where they have some auditing and compliance coming down the pipeline, and they might only have 15 users in their whole organization, but they make that one cog in the machine that goes up to the government that's requiring this compliance to be put into place. And they're like, well, they have to check those same check boxes off that your large financial institutions might have to check off, or that you're the creator of the engine that goes into that plane that smaller company's cog goes into. It's the same across the board. So it's really nice to see the portfolio here again. We've chatted about it in the past, but that portfolio from Fortinet just scales across the board, regardless of your organization size and the amount of revenue you might be generating and the amount of employees that you have. There's something for you here in this stack.
Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned about the security with the government and stuff like that. A lot of companies are starting to feel this, especially on the financial side. They're increasing their security. You need to start having this. You want some cyber insurance. You need to have this. Please let us know. Let us help you with those type of questions or doubts that you guys have, because Fortinet does have that capability to make sure that you follow under those compliances. And the government are just going to get more stricter, because there's more security vulnerabilities out there, more hackers that they're just doing their thing. Security is just going to increase. And that's the big topic, is security.
This chip itself enables secure boot on these appliances themselves.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking at some different charts here that I'm trying to, that I'm referencing a little bit.
Yeah. And the SP5, I mean, Fortinet is trying to do a lot within that one box. And if you're not, rather than going to add another vendor and more vendors and buying another vendor, different type of expertise is just going to be crazy. So Fortinet is trying to make this more simpler for the expertise to stay in that one space, rather than learning one vendor and then learning another vendor and then talking to another vendor and trying to make sure that they can be able to talk. And it just gets more complicated.
Yeah, I got you here. I'm a little confused by this chart I'm looking at. I'll share it up on my screen here. But It almost sounds like the SP7 Lite and the CP10 capabilities are built into this chip. Pretty amazing. That is so the fact. I know you've probably seen this, Israel. But for our listeners at home, just kind of pointing out some of the main components here that we're looking to achieve by introducing this SP5 into the matrix with the FortiGates. So it's the fifth generation security processing unit, 88% less power consumption compared to some of the other leading industry standard CPUs. As you pointed out earlier, Israel, 32x improvement on encryption. The VXLAN, GRE, and QoS is hardware accelerated. The secure boot that we touched on a moment ago, volumetric DDoS protection, industry-leading performance per watt, 2.5 gigs of SSL deep inspection. I think that's pretty cool to point out. So I'm having a lot of those conversations where folks are looking to expand, especially like on their access points, you know, that 2.5 gig is coming into play a decent amount. So I'm going to start seeing more and more conversations with the customers that that's what they're being provided by their ISP for. So that'd be pretty cool hearing that 2.5 to 5 gig ISP interface. You're going to be able to actually, you're not going to be shaped or kind of throttled by your SSL inspection, because 2.5 gigs on this chip's helping us achieve on that's pretty impressive. And then that MP7 Lite, I'm not super familiar with that myself.
So the MP7 Lite, so there's technically one, but I think this is the reason they call it Lite, because one of the reason is you can actually add a license to boot up that chip, right? So it will just literally work,
unlock it,
and it will work actually hand in hand with the CPU, meaning as soon as the CPU the CP is getting overwhelmed, they can actually unlock that capability of the MP7 and take that load off and be able to use it as that CPN. I mean the CPU as well. So rather than just having its own, just to go to the network, and the processor is doing its own thing. And if it's getting overwhelmed, for example, as a DDoS, what it does, it enables it and actually will now be taking over that load. Well, not taking over. It will work that balance of loads to making sure that now is a dual processor.
Okay. No, that's so pretty awesome.
It's pretty very unique, very powerful. The MP7 actually was in the minimum FortiGate was on the 1800F, but because of the new FortiGate that came out, the 600F actually has that MP7 now. It's I believe it's a hyper license, and I think it used to be you need to purchase a license, but I need to double check if that is not the case no more. But now you can have that MP7 on the 600F.
So this light edition of the MP7 is a component entwined into this SP5 that we're discussing here.
Correct. Meaning it's kind of separating itself, be able to handle both loads.
And when you kind of gave that example there, it reminded me of like when we built a lot of the virtual environments and you were giving 12 gig of RAM to the virtual machine that you're building, but then you had your disk cache for the overflow. Give it another 12 gigs or 1.5 times, so maybe 18, 20 gigs of disk space to act as virtual memory for any kind of overflow there if you need it. So that's more value add right there. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, and especially people, they think they're getting DDoS attacks and stuff like that. I mean, what's the whole point of a DDoS, right? Overload your network.
Yeah.
Shut it off. Well, you still want that protection. You still want that CPU to maintain that capability after that flood. So that's the full capability. By actually enabling that hyperscale, that's the hyperscale capability. And that's the MP7.
Okay, gotcha. Very, very cool. So, that just shows us almost a little bit of a Swiss Army knife here as far as the components of the FortiGate series. Now it's got the logic in itself to expand and share that load internally. Make sure the performance isn't degraded.
Yeah, with the MP7, I know in the past they needed to buy that license to be able to enable the both of them with the the CP9 and the MP7 and work together. But I think they got rid of it. Don't quote me on it. I know next time when we have our podcast, I'll definitely make sure I have that answer for our listeners, making sure that if you are interested on having a MP7 on one of your FortiGates, meaning the 600F, we can definitely start talking about that and making sure if you are required to have a license, additional license for that or not. Fortinet, one of the things they're trying to get rid of, what other vendors do is those add-ons and an add-on license. They want to kind of phase that out because their competitors are doing it and it's just getting very, very expensive. And Fortinet is trying to create it seems like a simple solution to our customers. And like, here, this what you have with one license.
Exactly. Do we know, is this SP5 going to be available? And is there a minimum model where we'll start seeing it?
So it should be from the lowest level, meaning the entry level, that is the 40F. And I believe it should go all the way to the 40F. But we can definitely find that out a little bit more. It is a brand new product. And I think certain releases are already starting to come with this, with those chips. But we can definitely find out a little bit more. So stay tuned.
The 40F to which model?
To the 400F.
400, okay.
Yeah, because after the 400, that's where the 600 comes in and starts adding the CPN and the MP7 chips.
Very cool.
So definitely stay tuned, guys. If you guys really want to know what models, and definitely just stay tuned. Or reach out to us and we will have that answer.
Now I'm curious if that new 70F that kind of showed up in my house a couple weeks ago, if it has that in there.
Well, I kind of like the suspense that I want to give.
Yeah. but true that. I don't need to answer it all today. We can talk about that next time.
So, listeners, if you guys were really interested in finding out on the licensing on the MP7 and what models, if it's already coming out, stay tuned for the next podcast and we can definitely let you know.
I did some of the list here, but yeah, we'll wait till next time so we have a good answer for everybody.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess not that we don't know. Well, I know. I just want to make sure that our listeners are really trying to get the proper information. Like I mentioned earlier, Fortinet is growing so fast, but they're doing the right things at the same time. I want to applause to Mr. Kimsey. He is doing an incredible job, able to take that workload that is coming in and be able to still make sure he's putting out some really good products out there to their customers. So applause to Mr. Kimsey and his brother and the whole Fortinet leadership out there. You guys are doing an incredible job. I enjoy this company. It's one of the companies that I come from. I learn, and in this position, it allows me to play with other appliances, and it's great. And we can definitely do a little bit more validation if people wants to know. We're not going to be biased. So even though Fortinet so far is like my top security, but it does not mean I will not tell you where is the bad or good about it.
I've already seen you do that already. Yeah, you've been transparent and truthful as you can possibly be with in the conversations you've had thus far with any of the customers I've witnessed.
Yeah. And now I know one of our topic is why Fortinet, but I don't want to jump into that boat yet. I know we have another topic, but stay tuned, guys, and to start listening about the licensings and the hardware. But I mean, the next one, I want to talk about the big talk. What is zero trust? What is this SASE? What is that? And I'm not going to, I don't want to say, I will mention a little bit of the Fortinet products of their solution. Fortinet does have on their zero trust, they do have their ZTNA, right? And they do have a SASE product that is FortiSASE. But why is everybody talking about these two? What's the big talk? Well, what happened, what, now 3 years ago? COVID. What happened in COVID?
Had to go home.
Everybody needed to go home. Be isolated. You are not allowed to leave. But what happens with that? You can't work.
Yeah.
You can't go to the office.
Well, we could work, but in a lot of situations, folks were enabled to work, but they were turning on something and having to dust it off, and it wasn't modernized to today's security requirements or needs, and it just opened up all these gaping holes inside of these organizations' networks, new entry points. Yeah, you know, your old VPNs, now you're just extending whatever my kid's got on his computer is now a part of your network, you know? Oh, yeah, wide open.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, right, that they already, some companies already have VPNs. Great and dandy. But they were not prepared for other departments to be able to do that. So some of them were actually didn't have that capability. They didn't even know what was a VPN. Everything was there.
It was. If they had done it, like matured it a little bit, they might have had like auto VPN, or, you know, when they booted it up at the user or kernel level, even they might have automatically connected. But it was like, it was still, you know, your kid was doing his homework on that laptop that you had sitting over there because you've been working on your desktop because you've been at home. You haven't booted that thing in months. And then all of a sudden you crank it up and it auto connects and who knows what's going to happen. So
yeah,
all sorts of issues that could have come from that. I'm sure some of our listeners had seen parts of that. I know stories firsthand where things had not gone the way that they were hoping. But this is that, like, to your point, though, it's like the ZTNA stories start to develop. It's like you're only going to get that one thing that you need. It's like you're basically getting one IP address and you get that one application that you need. You're not able to willy-nilly float through the network anymore. You're just delivered exactly what you need to get the job done, and there's nothing else or any reason that you should be navigating throughout the network. Not that you would intentionally, but there might be you know, of course, stuff on your machine that's been introduced that's going to try to take advantage of that access. So, yeah, to your point, that whole ZTNA story kind of evolved. SASE really took off. The SSE model kind of played into that a little bit. And then how are we going to support that and make sure that these new home offices are treated like secure branch offices? You know, we have to build into these smaller appliances that people had at home, like same capabilities and ideologies that are at the enterprise level need to be present inside of the SMB and home office setup. So, I mean, it's a great point you're making there.
Yeah. And that's where everybody started to see zero trust. Now there's a new one out there. SASE here, SASE there. The cloud. This is the cloud now. And those are companies are trying to make sure that every company out there has that capability to be to enhance their workforce by working from home, by hoping on the go, right? And that's the main reason these are coming in. Now, a lot of companies, other vendors, for example, they have their own firewall, but they don't have a ZTNA. So you got to go with another vendor, right? So now that's two different vendors that you need to be able to learn and support. Fortinet has their own ZTNA. Fortinet actually has the FortiGate is already embedded in there. It has the capability to write the rules in there. Now, it is an agent that you have to put on your endpoint, right? And that's where the FortiClient EMS. And I have to be very clear with the EMS portion because Fortinet does provide you free VPN. It does. But that's the free version. If you want the actual ZTNA, it's an actual license that you have to manage it on the actual what is called Endpoint Management Service, EMS.
Okay. EMS.
So what happens is they will create some of the rules, some of the tagging, the authentications in the EMS and tied back to your FortiGate. Why? Well, because your end user wants to access certain resources that you have in your premise. But at the same time, you have a SaaS solution. So some people, when you're in the VPN, they're going to have some delay if they're going to go to a SaaS solution that's in the cloud, right?
Oh, yeah.
So with this, what's going to happen is rather than going to the VPN back to the firewall and going back out to the SaaS solution and coming back and going to the end user, it's too much delay. Why just say, hey, let's create an encryption tunnel directly over there rather than going to the VPN. There's already a tunnel, a virtual encryption tunnel to go to the SaaS solution. Let's say Outlook. Give me one.
Any of the EMR apps? Yeah.
Salesforce, stuff like that. Let's not flood that firewall. Just go directly to Salesforce, right? And that's one way to shape that traffic. That's the big talk right now. Now, SASE is a whole different animal.
Oh, yeah.
It is. Everything what ZTNA does, plus a lot more, includes CASB, includes the SD-WAN, and of course the ZTNA. And one of the thing is with Fortinet's SASE solution, it's a SOC 2 compliancy. So
checking that off. Yeah, if you need it, it's here.
Exactly. So if you are the majority, or if you want to have that traffic visibility, that look at your latency, stuff like that, create your SD-WAN, that's SASE. And your endpoint protection. Everything is in there. And we can go more in depth on this, but again, mysterious. Let's keep it.
Yeah, a little mysterious. Right. Well, yeah, we can definitely do that. I mean, to your point, I mean, there's hours worth of content there, and so for SASE in itself. So it's good stuff. So, I mean, we got Accelerate coming up soon. Anybody wants to go, please reach out to us, because we still have tickets available. So all these topics we're chatting about will all be addressed in Florida at the Swan and Dolphin Resorts on the Disney property. It's April 3rd through the 2nd, or 6th is the main conference, but the 2nd and 3rd, we have technical days where you can actually flex your skills and expand your capabilities of your networking knowledge with Fortinet with the hands-on demos and sessions that they're providing. So we still have passes left. You know, we're giving some of them away. We're qualifying others for super heavy discounts. But definitely give us a shout out. Love to see you there. We already got about 14 going. We're expanding the customer list. Just had one sign up on Friday, had interest from possibly two more today. So don't have an infinite amount of passes, but I do still have some that we'd like to give away. So definitely just wanted to point that out for our listeners.
Yeah, definitely. And especially for listeners who are trying to understand what is Fortinet. One, give us a call. We can give you an overview what it is. If you are interested in to go to the conference, again, let us know and we can get you there, and it'll be a pleasure to meet you guys in person. That's first thing, right? Let us treat you. So making sure that you're taken care of. So that's a great way and a great location to meet and talk about Fortinet. But at the same time, Chris, we do have other events closer than April, right?
Oh yeah, there's always something going on.
So we got one in March 1st. Anybody in Boston, if you can make it, but there is going to be they're going to be at a basketball game in Boston, Clippers and versus the
Celtics.
Oh, Celtics. Where's sorry,
the Cavaliers. Wow. Yeah, Cavaliers. You don't want to make any. If you're going to that game, you don't want to call them the Clippers and then show up there.
I actually wish I would have gone. I'm not actually going to be there, fortunately. But now, March 4th, it's the Journeys concert. We will be there. Definitely, I will be there. Looking forward to anybody who is in the Connecticut, please reach out to us. We can point to you to our local resources is in there. We can start a conversation. And 9 and 10, we have Fortinet is hosting the PGA and Versa. I think that's like a Portuguese name in Florida. So, and then after that week, there's another one in Palm Harbor, Florida again. Man, I need to go to one of these golf. I have not been there yet. So very interesting. There's a lot of events out there. At the same time, please go to our event website. If you go to Centegra.com, if you click events, you will see all events that is there. So please take a look, hit us up, and we can go from there.
Yeah, definitely make you part of the community. You know, it's just even this past Friday morning, I met with a new customer. He's big into golf. You know, like at the Charlotte event, they've released some of the tickets for that coming up this summer. So started to sign him up for that to join us. You got one local to you in Austin, Texas.
Pretty soon.
Yeah, that's pretty soon as well. So they're all over the country, coast to coast. So we're definitely leveraging those for a nice day out of the office or out of the home. get you out in the sun and chat about some Fortinet fabrics and introduce you to folks. You know, a big part of this is the community and meeting each other and knowing who can help and where to go, and kind of all comes back to it.
Yeah. And one thing I have learned, and I've been listening to a lot of customers. I was just in Orlando last week, and I was talking to some of the customers out there, and they're, you need to buy the whole fabric to have Fortinet. That's not true. If you're interested to find out, give us a call. And I can tell you, you don't need a whole bunch of products to have Fortinet.
Amen. No, you don't. You got to start somewhere. You know, yep. The educated customer is the best customer, by all means.
Yeah.
So the cool part, though, to that, if you're not familiar with it, you know, 90%+ of these events, especially the PGA ones, are going to have the Fortinet Labs display.
Oh, yeah, the semi. Yeah.
The semi, the 18-wheeler will be there with the pop-outs, and it's a rolling data center, probably millions of dollars worth of hardware in there.
Yeah, Chris, I have not been there. I'll be in one of them pretty soon. And I've seen pictures. I've talked to other friends of mine that are in Fortinet and actually ran that. And it's, if you're a visual person like me, that's the best place. Because one, you can see the box yourself. Two, you can play with the FortiGate. You want to configure something, you want to do this, how easy it is. I mean, that's one of the best locations. Or give us a call. Let me show you my demo on the FortiGate and show you how easy it is to deploy this, to work on it.
If you like it at that point, we got some demo units too. We can ship them out to you. Get your hands on it physically, set up your own SD-WAN between two locations. You know, it's had quite a few customers use them already. I just got some fresh licenses to keep it going with the enterprise coverage. So it's, we got you taken care of. Just let us know, reach out to us, and we'll go from there.
Yeah,
so we'll go ahead and we're coming up on time here. So, you know, we didn't want to give away all the secret sauce quite yet. So we got some more topics to talk about. But I appreciate Israel giving some input into running this one with me. So I felt like we had a lot better fluid conversation going here. And this was a lot of fun. So thanks for doing it.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Join us again. And we'll try to record again in 2 weeks. And we'll tackle, this was 12, so the 13th episode coming down the pipeline. But we'll get this posted up on LinkedIn, get it shared out there. And then I appreciate y'all joining us and downloading and getting my numbers up a little bit there. So please continue to do so. And if you got any ideas for topics, yeah, definitely please feel free to reach out. And we'll keep going. Keep on keeping on, as they say.
Yes, sir.
All right, well, have a good day, Israel. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you.
All right, y'all take care. See ya.
Later.